Well, I sure am glad I preached on legalism this morning. That's why I can wear my tennis shoes tonight. I wore my tennis shoes because I'm not preaching. But anyway, not that it's wrong to preach in tennis shoes. Because our sermon this morning. Michael, be nice. So anyway, it's my privilege tonight to introduce Matt's sermon tonight. He spoke or preached, if you will, during our Easter Holy Week. And about, since that time, I've been praying through an opportunity for him to do it. And I thought, I'll be honest, Matt, I was nervous. Like, man, if I ask him, he might say no. And if he says no, then I'll be like, man, well, you know, I was a little nervous about asking because I didn't know how he'd respond. But he responded without hesitation and that his willingness to bring the word to us tonight. And my experience in preaching is you can only get better if you do it. You know, you can only get more confident, not in yourself, as he'll be teaching on the night, but you can't grow in your confidence in your preaching unless you do it. And that confidence comes from the Lord as he gives you experiences to do it. So anyway, with our church wanting to build a foundation of godly leadership, a part of that is building a group of men that are able to bring God's word to you in an equally authoritative way. And so it's my pleasure to ask Matt to fill this pulpit and to bring you God's word. And I can't tell this congregation, I can't tell Matt how much I thank God for the grace that he's at work doing in the life of Matt and Becky, both the work of grace that he's doing and the knowledge God has given him. And so I look forward to it, Matt, and I thank God for you.
Well, good evening. It's good to be back here tonight to fellowship with you. A few things, just to warn you up front. I am slightly under the weather. If I get a little, if my throat gets a little dry or something like that, I've got a little water back here that I may retreat to. I'll try not to because it, you know, you get that kind of that awkward moment of silence, you know, so I'll try to refrain from those awkward moments as much as possible. I'm not guaranteeing it's not going to happen, but just bear with me, if you will. You know, Brother Jeremy was just saying something about confidence and growing in confidence. You know, as I was preparing for this message and as I was studying God's word, you know, when he said that to me, it made me think about really what the essence or what the aim of this message will be tonight. And what I want to grow confidence in is my confidence that I need Jesus more and more in my life. That's the confidence that I want to have, that I can place my trust in him. And that's really what the core or the essence or the aim of the message tonight is really about. Where does your confidence lie? Where do you place your trust? So with that being said, tonight's message is called Power in Weakness. I didn't do that, by the way. Media team? Our media team of one created that. We got a great media team. Y'all should congratulate him on some of the things that he does. So, no, thank you, Jeff, for that. But tonight we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. So if you have your Bibles and you want to open them, if not, Jai will probably have it on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10. Let's hear God's word. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for an opportunity, Father, together as a group of believers, Lord, this evening, to just stand in awe and amazement of your power, your word, Lord. We thank you for your word. Without it, Lord, we are hopeless. Lord, I pray that tonight, Father, would be glorifying to you, Father, and that the aim tonight, Father, would be that we grow in our confidence, Father, that we grow in our confidence that we need you most especially in the weakest moments of our life, Lord. Father, you help us. Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, if we look at our culture today, it tells us that weakness is a bad thing, or it is somehow negative. Our culture says, if you want to do great things, if you want to have great accomplishments, you must be strong. You must be powerful. And that's the way we see things, usually. It's on our television. It's all around us. If you want to accomplish great things, you got to be powerful. You got to be strong. You got to overcome, right? Even our own nature speaks to us in this way. Our pride and our ego, it takes every opportunity to overcome perceived weaknesses. See, pride has no aspirations of exalting Christ over itself. God's word reveals to us a truth tonight. Not about how we can overcome our weaknesses, but how God's grace is sufficient for you to endure that weakness. And that is the message tonight. That even though we face times of weakness, God's grace is sufficient, and his power will be displayed when we trust in him. So I hope tonight that when we leave here, we'll see in Paul's letter to the Corinthians that even though he's found himself in a place of weakness, God's power has been perfected in that weakness, and he's trusted in him. Paul says, for Christ's sake, I will be content with weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Okay? So if Paul is content with weakness, and the power of Christ is perfected in our weakness, then I think we need to ask two questions. These two questions, I believe, are going to help us to have a better understanding of what specifically Paul is talking about here when he's talking about the weakness and the power that is perfected in weakness. So the first question that I want to ask is, what is the weakness that Paul is talking about? I think we need to make sure we nail down this weakness. And the second question is, how is the power of Christ perfected in weakness? So we're going to establish what is the weakness that Paul is referring to. And then how is the power of Christ perfected in that weakness? So let's look at the first question. What is Paul's weakness? So to understand this weakness, I think we definitely have to look at Scripture and place these verses in context. We need to have a little backdrop. I don't know about you, but I know many times growing up, I grew up in church, and I've heard a lot of verses and different things thrown around at different times. And sometimes people say things, and they say it's in the Bible, and it's not even in the Bible, you know. Or they misuse terms. And so after doing studying this verse, you know, I think we've heard about the thorn in the flesh. And I've heard a lot of, like, what that can mean. And after doing my study, and I was like, wow, you know, if you place this in the context, you come to a realization of what Paul's really talking about. And it is something specific, and I hope we clarify that tonight, because it's going to give us a better understanding and a greater meaning on the inside of what Paul is talking about here tonight. So in 2 Corinthians, Paul is defending his authority as an apostle, and he's refuting the claims of false prophets. Now, these false prophets had made their way into the church, and they had started preaching a false gospel. In order to convince the church of these false doctrines, they assaulted the character of Paul. They questioned his authority, and they tried to tear down his ministry. Some members of the church started believing that the outward abilities of man were greater than the authority of Christ, which was being displayed in Paul's teachings and his ministry. So if you look back just shortly in chapters 10 and chapters 11, which we'll look back there a little bit together, but you have to understand that Paul is defending himself because false prophets and teachers had made their way into the church, and they were tearing down Paul. And when I say that, when I say that they were believing in outward abilities of man, they had these great orators that had come in, these great speakers, and they were speaking, and they were saying that Paul wasn't a great speaker, and because he wasn't a great speaker, he couldn't be who he says he was, who he said he was. He couldn't have had the authority. And so they were preaching a false gospel, and they were running down Paul. Let's look at chapter 11 in 2 Corinthians 5 and 6. For I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles, but even I am unskilled in speech. Yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way we have made this evident to you in all things. Paul is saying he is not inferior as an apostle, because whatever deficiencies he may have had as a speaker, he had more in the terms of knowledge, in the knowledge of the gospel. Paul didn't need to be a great speaker. He needed to speak knowledge and truth and preach the gospel. That's what the church needed. Let's look at 13 and 15. Skip right down to verses 13 and 15. Paul says, for such men, 13 and 15, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So, 13 through 15, Paul is exposing the false prophets. He's calling them for what they are: servants of Satan. So, if we know now in chapter 10, Paul is defending his authority, and in chapter 11, he's defending his apostleship, okay? Now we're moving forward into chapter 12. So this gives us a little bit of a context and a little bit of a backdrop on where this may be coming from. Knowing what Paul has been facing helps us to have a better understanding of this weakness. In chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, Paul talks about a vision that he had where he was caught up into the third heaven. He doesn't know if this is in body or in spirit, but he knows that not everyone has been blessed with these types of visions or revelations. So for this reason, Paul says, to keep him from exalting himself, Paul says there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. We know that the thorn of the flesh created a weakness for Paul. Notice that this thorn was given to Paul because he was vulnerable to pride and self-exaltation. See, Paul, like us, God blessed him in many ways. And Paul got to see things that he said he couldn't even talk about. But Paul says he could have easily have placed himself above everyone else. And so to keep himself from being exalted, there was a thorn, what he calls a thorn in the flesh, or a messenger from Satan to torment him or harass him. So Paul refers to this thorn as a messenger of Satan, or another translation for messenger, you could say messenger or angel, same word, angel of Satan, given to torment or harass him. So before we nail down this weakness, okay, I'm building up to what the weakness is, so stay with me just for a second, okay? Let's skip down real quick and look at verse 10. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, and with persecutions, and with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says that he's well content with weakness, insults, distress, persecutions, and difficulties. All of these which he has faced. I believe the weakness that Paul is referring to are the circumstances or the weaknesses that he's mentioned here. All these are circumstances or instances of weakness. I also want to make sure that we understand what the weakness is not. Paul is not referring to ongoing sin in his life or some type of imperfect behavior. That's just not what he's talking about. Because if he was, then you would have to, you know, if you took that and stuck it in here, you would have to say, the power of Christ is perfected in my sin. That wouldn't be right. Or I would gladly boast of my bad choices. We know that's not true of Paul's teaching. So we know that what Paul's talking about, this weakness that Paul is suffering from, is not some type of sin in his life, some type of ongoing sin that he's struggling with. And it's not some type of imperfect behavior that he had. I believe it points directly to what Paul lumps in with weaknesses, which is Paul has been insulted, he's been persecuted, he's been distressed, he's been placed in difficulties. Look at, real quickly, look at chapter 11, verse 24. It says, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day, and I have spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, in dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. It is my understanding that Paul's weakness is a circumstance that he has been facing. The insults he's endured, the persecutions he has experienced, the difficulties he has encountered. This is Paul's weakness, given to him by a messenger of Satan to torment Paul. Now, whether this thorn be a physical ailment or some demonic presence, we know that the thorn in the flesh has produced weakness in Paul's life. And most likely, if Paul had the strength, if Paul had the ability within himself, he would have removed or overcome this weakness. So we know that Paul's weakness is this difficult circumstance he's found himself in, yet he has been unable to overcome this on his own. These are things that he is enduring. So what does Paul do? Well, let's look at verse 8. Paul says, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it may leave me. Paul prays three times. The Lord's response to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. So we've established the weakness. Let's look at the second question, which is, how is the power of Christ perfected in this weakness? God's power is ultimately displayed through his sovereignty and his grace. There's an ultimate display of God's sovereignty in these four verses. Let's take note that Paul says, the thorn in my flesh is a messenger of Satan. Satan is at work in Paul's life. He's looking to destroy his ministry and cause Paul to fall into despair. So Paul prays out to God in verse 8 to remove the thorn. But the Lord says, no. The Lord has a greater purpose for the thorn in the flesh. See, God knows what is best. He wants us to trust in him. I'm going to read, Jai, you don't have to flip there, but I'm going to read Hebrews 11, and this gives you a little bit of insight on God's sovereignty. Hebrews 11 says that by faith, some escaped the sword, and by faith, some were killed by the sword. And by faith, some stopped the mouths of lions. And by faith, others were sawn asunder. By faith, some were mighty in war. And by faith, others suffered chains and imprisonment. Even though we can see and we know that Satan is at work and maybe seemingly the direct cause of Paul's weakness, yet we have to recognize that God is sovereign and he is ultimately in control. I want to point out that this is not the first time that Satan has been used in accomplishing the sanctifying work of God. Satan was allowed to attack Job to do everything he could short of killing him. He tried to get Job to turn from God, but Job's faith in God never failed, and ultimately, God was exalted. I like the way John MacArthur describes Job 28. And I want to tell you how he describes it. He says, divine wisdom is rare and priceless. Man cannot hope to purchase it, and God possesses it all. One may not know what is going on in heaven or what God's purposes are, but one must trust Him. Because of this, the matter of a believer's suffering takes back seat to the matter of divine wisdom, which leads us to God's grace. See, Paul realizes that it is better to have the grace of God in your weakest moment than to be on the mountaintop by yourself. God's grace seems to be most revealed when we are totally relying on Him. Isn't that funny? You ever notice that? If you think about, as I was thinking about the sermon and just thought about different instances in my life, and just my, I was thinking about my church family, and you know, I've known most of you. There's a lot of my family over here, and y'all are my family too. I've known y'all about as long as I've known my own family. And it just seems like God just shines through at those moments when we step back and we look, and we could tell that, you know, it was a tough time, that we faced real weakness, and we were totally helpless, and we didn't have the strength. But yet, that's when God shone through. That's when we notice it. That's when we see it. You know, that's when we see it. And that's because God's power is perfected in our weakness. His grace is revealed to us when we're most reliant on Him. I just think that's amazing. And it makes us have a better understanding when Paul says, I would rather boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Doesn't it? When you understand, because each and every person has been through moments of weakness, and if we trust in Him, we believe in Him, His grace will endure us through it. Think about the ultimate display of power and grace. Think about the ultimate display of power and grace. Jesus, arms spread wide, nailed to the cross. He's insulted, spit on, persecuted, beaten, thorns in His flesh. He laid there, and it's just the ultimate picture of weakness, hopelessness. But what's going on is the perfect picture of God's power being displayed in weakness. So that's where we can draw our hope. See, by all accounts, it was Jesus' weakest moment in His life. What seems to be the fatal blow to Jesus is actually the power of God being perfected. I've done pretty good on time, Jeff. I don't know how long it was, but my clock's pretty close to quitting time. So, in closing, I believe that the Scripture ultimately drives us to have a deeper understanding that our greatest need is to have confidence in whatever circumstance or weakness that we may find ourselves, that is part of the glorification, the grace, and the power of Christ. I want to make sure we understand that. The Scripture drives us to that need to have confidence, that when we are facing the weakness, we know that we find in ourselves that it's part of the glorification, the grace and the power of Christ. I'm going to flip back to 1 Corinthians 2:5. If you want to flip there, you can. Actually, I don't have to flip because I put it in my notes. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, "So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Will you trust Him? Will you be content with weakness in order that Christ may be exalted? If we're always looking to escape our weakness, then we may lose the chance to meet a deep need that we have to depend on Christ in the midst of adversity. If we're always looking to escape our weakness, then we may lose the chance to meet a deep need that we have to depend on Christ in the midst of adversity. Paul's attitude, you know, when you read through it and you're like, yeah, I get it, Paul. It's like, but Paul's attitude towards God, it's just amazing. And really looking at that, you can see where Paul did have the authority. He did have the knowledge. Because I'll be honest with you, myself, I don't like suffering. If I can get myself out of it, if I can run from it, if I can overcome it, I'm going to. But Paul wasn't able to. And he prayed, and the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And Paul's attitude from that point forward is just awesome. And I pray that when you face a time in your life, a circumstance in your life, and we don't understand the wisdom of God, and there are going to be times in our life where we face these circumstances and we want nothing more but to flee from them, pray. Pray to God. Paul prayed. Says he implored the Lord that he might that the thorn in the flesh might leave him. Take it from him. That's okay. I'm not telling you not to pray. But know that no matter what, God's grace is sufficient for you to endure any circumstance that you may find yourself in. And if we trust in Him, ultimately, God is exalted. When we trust in Him, He's exalted. So that's my message for you tonight. I pray that this message had a straight aim and that you could take away the same thing that I've taken away from this scripture. And let me tell you something, there's a lot in here. You know, there's a lot in here. There's so much meat in here, it's just awesome. I'll leave the rest of it for less of meat on the bone for Jeremy, Brother Jeremy. But I thank you for allowing me to stand before you tonight. What a humbling experience. I'm grateful for my church family and my family. You've all been a blessing to me in my life. And I pray that when we find ourselves in these instances, these moments, that, like Brother Jeremy said this morning, we would rely on each other, that we would share with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would pray for one another, and we would say, you know what, brother or sister, I know that you're suffering, but God's grace is sufficient for you. So I pray that you could draw that from this word tonight. And I'm going to close and ask Brother Jeremy to come up front, and me and Jason's going to play. But I would just like to ask that, you know, if you're facing a trial or something in your life, and you just don't feel like you've been able to overcome that, and you're struggling, you know, I just pray that you would lay that down this evening. That you would lay that down, maybe grab a brother or sister here tonight, and, you know, come forward and just kneel before the Lord and pray to Him and ask Him what you're to do. So at this time, I'm going to close in prayer and ask Brother... I'm going to ask Brother Jeremy if he would close us in prayer, if he would come up and close us in prayer. And you make your way down front. We start playing, and pray about, maybe if you know somebody, you know, maybe you know somebody tonight that's suffering and you want to pray for them. Let's make sure we do that tonight and obey God in what we're supposed to do.